Heavenly Father, be with us now. I pray as we come to your word that you would prepare our hearts and minds. Lord, I pray for humility right now. Lord, I pray for humility for all of us, that we would humble ourselves before your word. Father, that we would not see as people with the answers in and of ourselves, Lord. That we would not think and act and process things as the world does, Lord, but through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. Father, I just pray that the truth of your word would be seen in new light because of who you are. Bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're continuing with Two Kingdoms, One King. And today we're hitting the kingdom of the intellect. The kingdom of the intellect. And, you know, there was a study done. There's many studies like this. But there was a study done, and they brought a whole bunch of people in, and they gave them some information. And when I say coffee and bedtime, what do you think of? Staying awake, right? When I say warm milk and bedtime, what do you think of? Sleep, right? So they brought these people in, they said, okay, now we're going to have you guys, and they went through the process, and one group went on one with milk and the other with coffee, and then they switched them, and they took down the results of who slept better with what. And sure enough, the group that got the coffee, it was the same group of people. They were agitated, they were kind of antsy, and kind of... And the group that got the milk, when it was their turn, sure enough, they felt calm. They went to sleep right away. It was good. What they didn't tell the people was that the coffee was decaffeinated and that the milk was chock full of caffeine. It's amazing the way the mind works, isn't it? We can have ideas of what's before us. And because of those ideas, because of different ways of thinking of things, we come and, truth can be a little deceiving at times, can't it? What we know to be right isn't always right. And when we come to the kingdom of the intellect, we love to have the answers. I got to tell you, I love to have the answers. I love to be right. But guess what happens a lot of the time? I'm wrong. How do we process that? How do we deal with that? How do we come before God in that? Just kind of a reminder of because we had Rick Hahn last week, and just, I tell you, there's some information about the Frontiers Ministry on the back table if you want to find out some more, write a thank you note to Rick for last week. And... But boy, I tell you, powerful message from Rick last week, wasn't it? Just an encouraging word that of loving and reaching out to all people, including to the Muslim community, and how to do that, and what's happening around the world in places like Iran and Iraq, and guys also are in our own backyard. We have a lot of Muslim people all around us, don't we? But what we started with the new series from the week before was the Two Kingdoms, One King. And really the scripture that we're having the theme on that kind of undergirds the whole series is the Matthew 6, 9 through 10, which is, this then is how you should pray. This is Jesus teaching how we should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Guys, think about that. How we should pray. God, you're awesome. And focusing on who God is and going into from who God is to, and your kingdom come. Thank you very much, Angel. Your kingdom come. Guys, what is the kingdom of God? When we talk about the kingdom of God, what are we talking about from 2 weeks ago? We're talking about the gospel, aren't we? We're talking about the gospel. The gospel is not just about salvation one day and heaven one day. The gospel is that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And it's not just when we die we get the benefits. It's not just Savior, but it's Lord. That He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords now in our lives as we come to Him by grace through faith. And the kingdom of heaven is here. It's here with Jesus Christ. We're experiencing it in part now, and one day we will experience it in full. The kingdom is where God is the undeniable leader, where He's the one who rules and reigns. And He's a good leader. He's a perfect leader. And whenever we surrender to God's authority and leadership, He gives His kingdom. His kingdom comes. But what is, anybody remember from 2 weeks ago? What is it that needs to precede that? For us to come to a place of being able to receive the kingdom, something for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. Repentance. And repentance requires a heart and a mindset that says, it's not all about me. It's not all about me. But if we look at our world, and honestly, if we take a real look at our world, it can feel almost like we've outgrown God, doesn't it? Can't it? I mean, the world is saying, oh, that's an old book that's on most shelves and it's dusty and it deserves to have the dust stay on it. Those are old ways of thinking. That's the thought process of my grandparents. And so many young people today have a mindset that, you know what? We're post-Christian. We don't do that stuff anymore. Guys, if we as a church expect the community to come into the church to hear the truth, guess what's going to happen? The church, not only our church, but the church as a whole, it's not going to flourish. It's not going to grow. Because so many of the young people have been brought up being taught from a very early age in school about the wisdom of man and the stupidity and the foolishness of God's knowledge, of God's wisdom. We have to be willing to go out. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians 8, starting in verse 1. And just to kind of, what is the mindset? We'll be going to 1 Corinthians 1 here in a little bit. But this is a little bit of a warning here. Now, about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. But knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. But whoever loves God is known by God. Man, knowledge puffs up. The world's idea of what's important, of what's real, of what matters most, which is what? The world spinning around who? Self. Me. Me. And you see it everywhere. We see it in all the ads, everything that's going on. I mean, I don't know if you guys got to see it last night. There was quite a fight last night. We had Mayweather and McGregor. And man, I was expecting like a round, maybe two, because McGregor's not a boxer. And he's used to getting in the ring and being able to use his hands, his feet, and everything. And he's never had a professional boxing fight. But here were two guys got in the ring. I tell you, you could tell these guys, life revolves around them. And it's going to revolve around them even more. You know why? One of them, McGregor, I think he made a minimum of $30 million in the fight, up to a maximum of around $100 million. And Mayweather made over $300 million for a fight. Now, I tell you, I'd get in the ring and get my bell rung for a little bit. I tell you. But I tell you, oh, man. But it went 10 rounds, which was impressive. But, I mean, there's such there's such a mindset, isn't there, that, man, we lift up and we value the things of this world, and our mindsets are going towards the individual. But how reliable is the mind, guys? Just like with the coffee and the milk, how reliable is our intellect? How much can we trust ourselves and trust us being the ones who are the rulers of our own kingdoms? Well, we've created an academic model. 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. I said, you hear that? The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believed. Boy, that ends powerful, isn't it? It's saying God is not known through the wisdom of the world. God's not known through the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world doesn't open the door to the kingdom of God. We don't figure it out on our own. We don't come to an understanding on our own. We don't have our own way, which is a better way. God's wisdom is foolishness to the elite mind. Why do I say it like that? Because think about this. For those who get in power, what do they do with their power? For those who get in authority, how easy is it for those who come into authority to misuse that authority? You guys have heard the saying, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. We have a world right now which is focused on me and mine, and where do I get my edge, and how do I use my strength to knock you down further? The wisdom of man says the only way to build me up is by knocking you down. What's the problem with that kind of wisdom, with that kind of thinking? What's that? What happens when we destroy it? I didn't hear in the back there. It's selfish. And when we're selfish, what happens? When we use other people to get what we want, what happens? We start experiencing the Lord of the Flies. We start becoming sharks. Blood is smelled in the water. Let's find out who's bleeding and where, and let's take them out. We'll get up. Man, what happens? Pretty soon, everybody's pretty messed up, aren't they? And the elite stay at the elite. The top stay at the top. And more power goes to fewer and fewer. And more of the rest suffer. The wise to say, if you have power and control, you don't give it up. You don't lay down your life. That is foolishness. Jesus' death on the cross, God of all creation. Think about that. It's so easy for us, as we've known God for a long time, to forget about the awesomeness of God. To be blown away by who God is. I mean, the word awesome is overused, isn't it? God is awesome. That's not overusing it with God. God is truly awesome. But man, that kind of awesome power and authority. How stupid to give that authority up. That's the wisdom of man. When you get an angle, you don't give up your angle. You use that angle to get more ground and a better angle. And what God says is, no, that's the foolishness of man. Why is it that, as you guys know, for a while we were, for about 6 years, Julie and I were in Uganda serving with orphans and trying to reestablish and recreate family. And when we went there, it was incredible. Museveni, the president, there's an incredible story about Museveni and how with a few people and a few guns, he finds a way to conquer and he gets in there and he becomes this ruler, this leader who's doing good for his country and things are going well and things are going well. And now he's been there an awful long time. And guess what he can't do? Give up authority and power. He can't walk away. He can't bring it. And so now it's, who's he going to place in authority rather than, and so then there's elections and then there's struggle over what's going to happen next. Why? Here's a man who did such an incredible thing and brought in help and blessed so many people. And right now the struggle in Uganda is what? What is Museveni's becoming? A lot of people are saying what? That he's becoming a dictator. Because he can't let go of the power. The wisdom of the world says you use your authority to get more power and authority. You use it to dominate. The wisdom of God says you lay down your rights. You give being right up to loving in Christ. That doesn't sound that great, does it? Honestly? I mean, from a fleshly point of view, who here likes to be right? Come on, who here likes to be right? Okay, who here's honest? Okay, okay. We love being right. We love it. The kingdom of the mind. I want to hit the flip side. I want to hit one more thing, and that is this. As we look at the mind, and one of the first things that comes to the mind is God's law. Is God's law. And I want to say one thing before we go into the law a little bit is this. Number one, in today's church, the law has taken a serious hit. Today, the church looks at the law and it almost has a negative look at God's law. What is the law? The law is God's moral code. The law is the truth about God and who he is and his love and how we connect with each other. And we've gotten in the church to where we think, oh, well, now we're under grace. You know, in the Old Testament, they were under the law, but now we're under grace. And so the law, yeah, didn't Jesus come and destroy the law? And aren't we now under grace? No. We say we're not saved by keeping the law. True. We're not saved by going through the hoops of the law. That's not what saves us. But guys, when we are saved, guess what the law becomes? Life and breath and joy and pleasure. Because it's God's moral truth. It's his truth about who he is, who we are in him. And now the law is not what saves us, but it points us to our need for him and says now I know how to enjoy God better. Now I know how to truly experience the pleasure of God because I'm living in a way that brings pleasure to God and gives him the glory by the way I live. No, we're not saved by the law, but when we're saved, the law becomes more and more and more a part of our life, part of our identity, of who we are. Jesus said, and a lot of people get this wrong. Jesus said, I did not come to what? To destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. A lot of people remember that verse just a little bit off. Well, Jesus came and he wasn't about that law. No, he came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. To put meat on the bones. The kingdom of knowing but not doing. Guys, that's what I want to spend most of the rest of our time talking about. The kingdom of knowing but not doing. One of the challenges in the church that we face is, you know what? To become mature, it's about what you know. It's about knowledge. Is knowing God's word more important? Okay, that's an easy one, guys. Is knowing God's word more important? Absolutely. Absolutely. Knowing his word, coming into a greater, deeper relationship with him, because our heart is desiring it. And when you experience being loved, what's the response? You want to love back. When you experience perfect love, it's overwhelming. And you want to love back. But in the church, one of the things that's kind of masqueraded as maturity is knowledge. Just knowledge outside of doing. Knowledge of knowing. Guys, if we're all about knowing, we're all about a religious mindset of figuring it out. A new way to build what? My kingdom. It's a very religious perspective on coming to building my kingdom my way. But if it's built around what I know about God rather than being known by God and being intimately in an intimate relationship with him, if it's just of knowledge, there's no life change there. There's no transformation. We've created an academic model. We want to learn more. Why is that appealing? Why is just knowledge about God appealing in the flesh? Thank you. Absolutely. It's easier. Why is it easier? Who's on the throne? If I can direct the traffic, I can understand everything that's going on, man. But when I come to Christ in faith and I'm humble before him, guess what? I don't have the answers. I've got the one who walks with me through the problems. When I'm dictating, I get to create the questions and the answers. I mean, really, that's what Adam and Eve were all about, right? In where they blew it, it wasn't about eating fruit. It was about saying, you know what? I get to be the one who says what's right and wrong in my life. That's what Adam was saying. I get to be the one who decides what's right and what's wrong. I make that choice, not you, God. Kingdom divided against itself, as it can't stand. There is unity in the body of Christ. Why? Because we're under the same leadership. We're under the same truth. Verse 22, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, and foolishness to the Gentiles. What's he saying there? Jews want to worship religion. Gentiles want to worship the intellect. and it's all for naught. We preach Christ crucified, which goes against both those lies. Verse 24, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, although most of us think we are. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. What is he just given a list of what man values, of what man worships? But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. What is it that God finds detestable? Arrogance and pride. You want to insult God? Come at him with arrogance and pride. Try it. I've done it. It doesn't work well. Actually, don't try it. Let me rephrase that. Don't try it. All of us have been there, haven't we? Where we've had the answer, where we've told God what to do. Where we've told God the best answer to a situation. And we puff. There's a certain kind of fish that huffs and puffs. Guys, God finds arrogance and pride ugly. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Guys, think about that verse. God resists what? Who here wants to be going against God? It's an ugly place. It's a dark place to be. And how can I assure that I am going to be butting heads with God if I'm acting out of my pride? If I'm acting out of my arrogance? And guys, we got to be honest with each other. It is so easy for us to get there. All it takes is what? One little wound. One little wound, and all of a sudden, the pufferfish comes out. And the prickles go out. And man, here we go. And I would suggest that we tend to do this when it comes to all areas of the mind. We think we know the answers. We have the answers in ourselves. And we look at this fortress of the mind. And guys, the intellect is God's creation. Does God value intelligence? Yes. God is the creator of intelligence. The most intelligent person in the room when Jesus was alive was who? Jesus. The most impressive, powerful, intellectual, brilliant being in all of creation is what? The one who created everything. As many of you know, when it comes to computers, I could be classified as possibly a moron. I don't know, when I get around a computer, I get scared to touch keys because I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up. I'm not a hesitant person. When I get on a computer, I'm hesitant. And often when I do something, it goes terribly wrong the first time I try it. Why? Because I'm so hesitant. Me, knowing what I know, knowing who I am, knowing my strengths and weaknesses, how arrogant would I have to be to give Bill Gates a call and say, hey, Bill, Listen, I've got some good ideas for you. You've been doing it wrong. Oh, what's your history? Well, I don't really have a background in. Well, how long have you been working at it? Have you come up with any new program? Well, actually, I don't like the computer. I'm quite scared of it. I'm intimidated by it. How arrogant would I have to be to give Bill a call? I say, bud, dude, coffee, man, we need to talk. Serious problems here. And that's how we approach God. But guys, the stupidity of it, the ridiculousness of it is so much greater. I want you to think about that. The difference between my knowledge of computers and Bill Gates is nothing in comparison to man's knowledge, our understanding, and God's understanding. There is no room for pride. God resists the proud. You want to make yourself going against God? Move forward in pride. You know what happens when you do that, guys? And I know it from firsthand experience. Is you either destroy the relationship with the people around you by getting small victories for me, or you come to a place finally where you're humbled. Guys, we will be humbled before God one way or another. Praise God, He gives us the opportunity to come to Him and say, God, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me. The wisdom of God creates humility. The wisdom of man creates arrogance and pride. Two different worldviews. One says, you know what? Man is in the center and everything revolves around me. That's one worldview. And guys, one thing I will say is if this is the worldview you take on, in this life, not only can you be very successful, you can be very powerful. You will also have relationships where you're using and relationships that are not love-based. And I hate to say it, but all of us come and are humble before God. And when we come and have to give an account, if we've made ourselves the center of our worldview, we'll have to come before God and be humbled in a way that takes us out of eternal relationship with God. And I don't wish that on my worst enemy. I want the people around me to know the love of God. And for us who are Christians, who have made God the center, we're no longer the center and God's in the center. Guys, stop trying to kick him out from time to time on this issue or that situation or that person. As I want to encourage us more and more to move from knowing to doing. What's going to happen when the church, when we, guys, we are the church. What happens to this church family? The more we move from knowing to doing. What happens to the lives of the people around us? I was telling you, it was exciting. I got, as I was listening, as I was watching the fight last night, it was because one of my son's friends, parents, who we, Julie and I know, and I got to go over, and they don't know the Lord yet. And you know what gets to happen every single time I go and spend some time with them? Guess what we talk about more than anything else? God. You go over for a fight, and you get to a walk in the backyard and have a conversation about God's love, about how much God loves them and what they're going through. And the person starts sharing, and man, it's powerful, guys. See, it's when we go from knowing to doing, now we get to be a part of the gospel, not talk about the gospel. We get to be ambassadors for Christ. God uses even me. Can you believe it? Even us. All right. I've got three more slides, but I think I'm going to end there. Guys, where has God called you to understand that he's in authority in that area of your life? What areas do you consistently react to a situation, start puffing up, and in arrogance and pride, start moving forward? Boy. We all have different areas, right? We all have, and there's certain people that cause that. There's certain situations that cause that. And we need to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. And we need to go and do as Christ did and as he told us to do, as his word tells us to do. I want to end with this verse. It's not on the overhead. Because if I put it on the overhead, I'll start going into too many verses here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And how important is this? We know it's so important that all of God's law, all the teaching of the prophets, are set on the foundation of love God with everything you have, and because that love transforms you, give that love away to the people around you. Guys, guess what that is? Anybody have an idea? The gospel. Be transformed by who God is, what he's done. And when you receive it, it so changes you from the inside out that now, rather than the law, rather than my law and my understanding of what's right and wrong, now I'm under God's truth and love. Now I respond in humility. And when I don't, man, God, forgive me. Forgive me. As we need to spend a lot of time on our knees before God. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the way. If that's true, it changes everything. Not only changes everything in us, but everything that comes out of us. It now comes out of with a different perspective. Perspective that Jesus is on the throne right where he belongs. Good news, he's a great and perfect king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not a broken dictator.
it gets worse with time. He's the great King. Guys, we can trust him. And here's a truth worth hearing. We can trust him more than we can trust ourselves. As much as you trust your own understanding, we can trust him so much more. Because we can get caught up in that milk and coffee thinking, can't we? We can think one thing's reality when it's really not. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that you are God. Father, first of all, forgive us. Forgive me for my sin. Lord, thank you that you are such a loving Lord of truth, that you are a God of power and authority who loves perfectly, that you don't demand that we get on board like a dictator, but you have the loving heart of a perfect father who sacrificially gives for his children, so that they can be in relationship and have the blessings of being a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Father, I pray if there's anyone here who has been religious and knows about you and it stayed there, Father, I pray that they would be humbled before you. They would come before you and say, "Forgive me of my sin. I repent of my sin. I choose to receive your love and your truth, God. I choose to follow you. I don't know fully what that means, but I choose in faith to take a step in faith to follow you today, here and now." And for Lord, for those of us who are here who know you, Lord, forgive us for our arrogance, for where we keep trying to bump you off the throne. We keep trying to get that wiggle in and sit where we don't belong. Father, thank you that you are long-suffering. Thank you that your grace is beyond words. Lord, we desire to experience more wholeness in our lives by having a more loving and a humble heart. Lord, we choose today not to be right, but to be loving. Father, we choose today not to be right, but to be loving. And to come and to move forward in love rather than in a need to be seen to be right, Lord. So forgive us, Lord. Thank you that you do. May this week be a week where we find opportunities to bless the people that we come in contact with. At work, with friends, with family, Lord, we pray that we would see the opportunities that you're putting out before us. May we have a different perspective. Lord, because of the truth of who you are, may we not be just hearers of the word, but doers. May we take pleasure in doing and living out what we believe. We love you. We love you, Lord. We love you back. Thank you for first loving us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.